Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Phoenix. Huns win 130-119 over defending world champion Golden State. Monty Williams, what was the big key?
In Miami, I think we gave up 17 offensive boards. Tonight, we gave up 6. And the second chance points are obviously lower when you do that.
Also, it was the contributions from everyone. Cam Payne, 29 points, 7 assists. Devin Booker, 27 points, 9 assists. Bridges, a near triple-double. Mikal had 23 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists, Devin Booker.
Yeah, I didn't even know he could pass for real. It's good to know, though, moving forward.
Must have been a great game to go to, because not only did you get to see a Suns win, but you also got to see a future Hall of Famer go for 50. That's what Steph Curry did, shooting 7 of 11 from 3. And you also got to see Devin Booker set a new career high in block shots.
I don't even remember him, honestly. I don't know how I got 3 blocks.
Up next, the Suns go back on the road. They take on the Jazz in Salt Lake City tomorrow night at 7. What a win for Arizona State in Brooklyn, New York. They knock off Virginia Commonwealth 63-59. Frankie Collins had 15.6 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals. And DJ Horn took a huge charge in the final 2 minutes to get a turnover. He had 12 points and 7 boards. ASU goes back at it tonight against Michigan in Barclays Center at 7 o'clock. Injury rundown for Cardinals versus 49ers in Mexico City. Kyler Murray, are you ready to go?
We will see. Yeah, we'll see.
The laughter makes it seem like he's ready to go. Marquise Hollywood Brown was taken off of IR, and he went through the walkthrough. What are the chances you play, Marquise?
I mean, I'm just taking it one day at a time, however I'm feeling. You know, each day, that's how we're going to take it. That's how we're going to approach it, move forward.
Kyler, what jumps out on film when you watch the 49ers?
Everybody knows they've had a great front seven for as long as I can remember, and they're going to get upfield, so we got to be prepared for that.
HBO's Hard Knocks dropped last night. Two biggest takeaways? No mention of Eno Benjamin whatsoever, and a health scare for Kelvin Beachum when he thought his appendix might be exploding, and he passed out at the team's facility. Ended up being something wrong with his intestines, and he was just fine and played well against the Rams. News on the Phoenix Rising's new stadium. The Phoenix City Council voted unanimously to approve a new lease on the grounds where the former Greyhound Park racetrack was to allow the Rising to build a temporary facility. The Rising plan on moving in 2023, and they expect to have a sports book on site. Award season in baseball continues. Cy Young Award yesterday. Justin Verlander gets it for the American League. Sergio Alcantara gets it for the National League. Interesting note, only the second time in baseball history both awards were handed out unanimously. Diamondbacks also got some attention. Starting pitcher Zach Gallen finished in 5th place in the voting on the National League side. The action tonight is ASU, U of A, and the Yotes. Already told you the Sun Devils take on Michigan. U of A's at home against Utah Tech, and the Coyotes are on the road in Las Vegas. They take on the Golden Knights at 8 o'clock. And finally, I don't know anything about stealing a car, but I would not have done this within the first hour of taking hold of my new possession. A woman got off a bus at a park and ride, and 2 men followed her to her car and demanded her keys and her cell phone. A few hours later, police found the car and the men got out and ran out through the woods and escaped. One of the first things police noticed in their investigation is that one of the bad guys had already Bluetooth linked his phone to the Apple CarPlay system. It was complete with a call history to track down his contacts. And it said Daryl's iPhone. You know, I gotta do more. I don't know what it is, but as soon as that music plays, it's therapeutic. I can't explain it, but I just feel alive, like I'm back, and I don't know why I left. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever it is that you make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to the coverage of the four major sports franchises of one great American city that drops on your phone every weekday morning. We also cover the Rattlers, the Rising, the Merc, ASU, GCU, and U of A. Now, why did I screw? Oh, my gosh. Arg. I just stunk. I usually go colleges first and then Rattlers. I don't know. There you go, Timothy. Did you like, how you like them apples, Timothy? Oh my gosh. I got a hilarious tweet from Timothy 2 days ago that said, you know, so I'm paraphrasing. I'm not looking at it right now, but it said something like, hey, congratulations on crushing the intro so often, but your signature is butchering it. So stop doing well. It's basically a tweet that said, quit doing well. I was thinking about you as I was rolling, thinking, I am crushing this, Timothy. Take that. I win. And then I butchered it. Good to see you. I really need you. I really needed that. You know, boom. I just needed that. That, I don't know why. Yesterday was not a good day. There's no other way to put it. Yesterday was not a good day. Really felt down. I didn't get a call back at all from anybody that I had feelers out to. One guy even went straight to voicemail when I called. So I thought yesterday was going to be the day and kind of got smacked in the face. Jennifer didn't get a call back yesterday. So the unemployed train continues, and it was just not a good day. It was just a down day, and I was feeling sorry for myself and a little frustrated yesterday. I let it get to me a little bit. And Jennifer was singing with a group last night. She's told me about it, and it wasn't the Phoenix Symphony, but it was somebody else, and I wasn't paying attention. And so then I was just, you know, the kids are gone, and I get so much joy out of my children. So there's nobody in the house but just unemployed Doug, you know, at unemployed Doug is just sitting in the house. And it was just a tough night. And then I'm sitting here now, it's 4:52 in the morning. And as soon as I heard, I did get jacked up. It did. It picked me up a little bit. And I think that's because of you. So thank you. The interaction on Twitter yesterday was much better. I need that. I really like that. Even though I don't always respond, I take yours and I put them into, cut and paste them and I put them into a Town Hall Tuesday file so I can get to them a little bit later. And it keeps me going. So thank you. And I need to quit. You know, it's been a long time since I was feeling down on myself, but I need to stop because that's just not fair to you, and it's not fair to the unbelievable sponsors I have. I mean, to have people like Jerry and Mikey and Angel and Mark, getting to know them and having them a part of this journey, to have Parker and Sons like really legitimately upset when the old show ended. They were really angry when the old show ended. And to have them be one of the first sponsors as well, and here I am, you know, wallowing in misery for a couple hours. So I'm back. That was just, from now on, whenever I'm in a bad mood, I'm just going to walk downstairs and hit that button. It just gets me, you know? Like, here, hey, showtime, here we go. And it's worth something. And things aren't as bad as I'm making them out to be. I just, you know how it is. You know, you just want, and you shouldn't want. Relax. All right. I am employed by the old company, not the old company, by Props through the end of this month. So there's nothing wrong. You know, it's not like I had to walk 2 miles across a village just to bring water back to my family. You know, it's people have it worse. And so find your joy. You know, my wife keeps saying that to me. It's kind of a nice statement. Find your joy. But I just wanted to open up and let you know how I felt. And you got me fired up with that music. There's one tweet I do want to talk about for just a second. I hope Jer, it's at, let me cheat and look at it. @Focus925. Jer, I hope you're okay if I answer your tweet coming up on Town Hall Tuesday, which will drop Wednesday morning. It'll be a little late, but it'll be ahead of the USMNT playing, if you're okay with that. Jer asked me, hey, will you kind of give a little soccer breakdown, and run down the game, run down what I'm looking at, run down how the World Cup works? And I love that idea. So I'm going to do that for you Wednesday and try to give you a crash course in the game. And I thought that was a great tweet. But I like to save it for Town Hall Tuesday, number one, and because we've got a lot going on today with Suns, ASU, and Hard Knocks all yesterday, and then the tailgate show tomorrow, and then if you didn't know, World Cup starts on Sunday. So, but USMNT doesn't play until the, I think, Thursday morning. Let me cheat and look that up. I'm going to stop recording. Okay, I wasn't even close to being right. I wasn't even close. They play Monday. I didn't realize that at all. It's on my notes, but not the notes I have in front of me, but on a TV schedule that I write out to make sure I record the right things. They play Tuesday, Friday. They play Monday, Friday, and then next Tuesday. So I guess that changes things. I will still... Well, how do I want to do this? You know what? I guess what's best is we... You know what I'll do? I will do it on Monday morning. We'll talk Cardinals. You know, we'll talk a little. That makes sense. We'll preview Cardinals a little bit against Mexico City, and then I'll go breakdown of World Cup on Monday. How's that? So I'll do an extensive World Cup conversation coming up on Monday's Doug Franz Unplugged. But I'm glad you brought that to my attention, Jer. That was a good idea.
Doug's big one.
Tell me what you think of this.
It's one of those things where the way I play, the ability, you know, I got to be able to do what I do. I've played through those things, obviously, but there's like a fine line of making it worse and not making it worse. But we're on the right track.
That's Kyler Murray talking about his hamstring and talking about, I got to do what I do, meaning this isn't something that he can play through because it takes away one of his weapons, and that's his legs. I'm letting it hang for a little bit because I really am letting you think about how does that make you feel when he says that. I have a major problem with it. Let me ask you this, Kyler. If your hamstring injury takes away how you play the game, you got to do what you do, you said. Well, how does Tom Brady do it? How does Peyton Manning do it? How does Kurt Warner do it? How do these quarterbacks, how did Dan Marino ever do it? This is why I have such a problem with that. Kyler, why can't you do what Colt did? Why can't you do a pre-snap read, judge the coverage, get your post-snap validation, and get the ball out quickly and throw someone open. Throw it away from the coverage to lead your man where you want them to go. Why do you have to be able to run away? I think Kyler goes through about a read or two, and then he immediately panics and starts running. And I realize that sounds weird because I'm the same guy who wants Kyler to run more often. I want more Kyler-designed runs. I want more Kyler-designed rollouts where you pull a guard with him, fake the handoff on a boot to the left, and then you circle back and run right and bring a guard with you to block in case that outside end is trying to wall off Kyler and really create almost mismatches on the edge with Kyler's ability to run, and then you having sail routes and somebody going deep. Obviously not every play, but I want to see that. And they don't even do it. But when we're actually talking about just dropping back and passing, why can't you play with your hamstring a little dinged? Now, I am in no way talking about, oh, you're terribly hurt and you could rip the thing. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, I find it interesting when the world isn't perfect, Kyler can't play. Like, everything's got to be good for Kyler in order for him to play. Now, I do want to give him credit on one thing. He said he hurt the hamstring a week earlier, played on it last week, or 2 weeks ago now, and then couldn't go against the Rams. I don't hear that in him. Now, if Kyler would have said, you know, I felt like my hamstring was bad enough that it would limit me and I wouldn't have been as good as Colt. So I think what was best for the team is that Colt McCoy played. And I would have been impressed by that. Okay, fine. But I don't like that phrase, I've got to do what I do, meaning I can't grow my game in a different way. I don't want to make your legs be all that you can do. I think it's an underutilized weapon of your game as it is. But having said that, if that's the only weapon you've got, you're really not that good of a quarterback. Kyler, if you can't beat teams with your brains and arm, we're never going to win a Super Bowl with you. Ever. And it just seems so flippant. I got to do what I do. I don't think you have to. Sound credits today. I got everything from Suns PR, sent me an email with all of the sound from a lot of stuff. Monty pregame, Booker after shoot around, and Booker postgame. And so we got a lot to go over about the Suns win over Golden State. And I got that piece of Kyler sound and all of the Kyler stuff that you're going to hear from later. I got that from azcardinals.com. When you click on video and then you click on press pass, they actually air all of their press conferences and you can get the sound that you're looking for. This isn't the sound you're looking for. I mean, you get the whole press conference if you're interested in watching it or listening to it. Suns a winner yesterday. Looked really good. 131-19 over Golden State. Let's give it to us there, Monty. Here's the Monty rundown.
The rebounding. They only had six offensive boards, and that was what plagued us the other day. We value rebounding on both ends. And in Miami, I think we gave up 17 offensive boards. Tonight, we gave up six. And the second chance points are obviously lower when you do that. Steph's going to have Steph moments, you know. And when that happens, you can't give them extra possessions. So he can, you know, he would have ended up with 60 plus, you know, if we don't rebound the ball tonight. Obviously, we spread the ball around and knock down some shots, and that helps. It allows us to set our defense, and that allows us to have better rebounding position because you probably have size on size. So that was the thing that stuck out. Cam and Book, Mikhail, you know, both going for 20-plus. And, you know, the starting group, I thought Torrey was huge tonight, knocking down shots and his defense and just making energy play after energy play. And Book's ability to just find guys. I mean, you know, our bench was solid. I thought D. Lee's ability to space and knock down shots and just be in the right spot. And it's always a chippy game when we play those guys. But we have to manage that better, especially in closing moments. All that stuff counts.
Talking about managing it better at the end, I'll get into that in a second because he later on in the press conference, he talked specifically about campaign, and I want to get into that. But what he was saying there, number one, I love that he called out Torrey Craig. I think Torrey Craig has been fantastic this year. Fantastic. I mean, of course, not an all-star or anything like that, but just filling his role better than you could expect that role to be filled. I think he's hustling more than he's ever hustled as a Sun. And I don't think he ever had a hustling problem to begin with. But there is definitely an extra energy to him. And that's, man, I just love guys like that. Absolutely love guys like that. I'm glad he called him out. I thought it was interesting. I love the cyclical nature of the game of basketball and how so many different things all relate to each other. It's truly a chicken and an egg, chicken and the egg type of thing in a positive way. His big key was the fact that they eliminated the offensive rebounding that they had given up on a lot of games in that road trip. So he was confident that they would win when they gave up fewer rebounds. But one of the reasons why they gave up fewer rebounds, he says, is because they were getting back on defense. One of the reasons why they were getting back on defense is because of the fact that they were able to make shots offensively. That makes the 49ers. That slows down the Warriors and makes them take the ball out from underneath the hoop. And then in that time, you can get your defense set. And then once your defense is set, you're in a better rebounding position in case they miss. And then a kind of a sidebar of that, if you're in defensive position, you obviously more often than not are able to make it more difficult on them to get a good shot. And therefore, there are more rebounds to rebound. There are more misses to rebound because of all of that. And how are you making shots? In this game, they were making shots because of the fantastic ball movement. Fantastic ball movement. And sharing the basketball, and everybody had a high number of assists. And how do you get the basketball moving that much? Well, it goes all the way back to the more often times that you battle hard and get the rebound, you can make a quick outlet. And once you make the quick outlet, now they're scrambling defensively. And it revolves around itself. Good basketball on one end leads to good basketball on the other end. And that simple answer, I did. Maybe I'm kind of geeking out a little bit because of how much I love basketball, but that really shows you how many positives can be had, which brings up, sadly, a negative. I'm getting more and more frustrated all the time with DeAndre Ayton. Beforehand, in the years since he was drafted, my frustration was actually out of caring. My frustration was out of promise and potential. I respected the talent of DA so much that I wanted it for him and us, for him to realize how great he is. And I, as a former club soccer coach, I saw this in a lot of kids. They had no idea how good they were, and for some reason, they didn't have the confidence, or they had fake confidence. I think DeAndre Ayton has a lot of fake confidence. You'll hear him say, well, I'm dominating. No, you're not. DA, who have you dominated this year? When you say you're dominating, who have you dominated? You show me who was that guy that you pummeled. What game was it that you went for 25 and 14 while the other team center went for 8-4? What game is that? That's dominating, and you don't do that. So he was really bad, I thought, on this road trip. Well, guess what we found out? In the conversation about rebounding, Kellen Olsen of a group called Empire of the Suns, I think he's really good. He hates me, though, and I don't know why, but I think he's good at his job. He asked a question to Monty Williams about the rebounding numbers of DeAndre Ayton and how they're down this year and what is he seeing. And he tried to give him an out. He said, is it because of how much you're rotating defensively? So now he's getting further away from the basket. What are the reasons behind it? Monty opened up in a way that I didn't know he ever would with us as fans.
I don't know. I thought last game, he and I had a heartfelt conversation about, you know, just that. He's down like 3, I think. And then last game, I forget 7 or 8 offensive rebounds. And that's the DA that we know. So I suspect he's going to get back to the normal rate that he's accustomed to. DA could easily go 12 to 15 every night. Now the switching can affect you because you end up contesting a long shot. It's hard to contest a shot at 25 feet and then go back to the basket. But I think last game he showed, you know, what he's capable of every night.
I don't know if Kellen Olsen just got lucky, but first let me compliment the reporting. A lot of times when you ask a question, you kind of know something. And I wonder if somebody alerted him to the conversation that happened, and then you ask the question, because for you to ask the question and notice that DA's rebounding is down at the same time that Monty has already had a conversation like that, that's either unbelievably coincidental or really good reporting to have a source that had told you that that happened. I didn't know that Monty had spoken to DA about it. It's also good for us as fans to find out that Monty and DA are having heart-to-heart talks like that after the end of last year. But let's move forward and say, now here's the bad news. You have that talk, and then DA got out-rebounded again. DA went for 14.7 boards. Looney went for 10 points, 8 rebounds. So he had one more rebound, and Looney was 5 of 6 from the field. And who knows if he would have outscored DA if they needed it, but obviously with, you know, Curry being hot, they didn't have to go to him. DA also had 4 turnovers. So he only had 3 more rebounds than turnovers. He is absolutely not locked in at all for the Suns. And nobody's really noticing it outside of us in the Unplugged Army. Now, maybe we could say Monty is noticing it, and that's why he had that conversation. But this, you know, this isn't good. This isn't good. All right, that was from pregame. This is from shoot around this morning, and it's kind of funny. Just the question of Curry being Curry. The reason why I think this is entertaining is this is Mikal Bridges talking about Steph Curry, you know, 6 hours before he goes for 50.
Just Steph being Steph, man, just so tough, makes unbelievable shots where it's just regular to him, picks defenses apart. He just, he is who he is, and he just keeps getting better every year. What makes him so good and him so freaking incredible.
I just laugh that he's complimenting. I mean, I've never heard a good defensive player ever say somebody is just so freaking incredible.
So freaking incredible.
I mean, there is no way you're asking Larry Bird about Magic in the years that they played, and he would say, so freaking incredible. You know, and yet today's athlete, oh, he's so freaking incredible. I like that about Bridges. Still going to do whatever he can to stop him, but just there it is. And then, like I said, in the 4-minute offense, man, if you were there last night, that's incredible. To see a display offensively of the brilliance of one of the greats of all time. I think it's time, you know, I think we can say that about Curry, one of the greats of all time. And you see him go for 50, but you get to see your Suns win reasonably comfortably. 130-119. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. One of the main reasons why they won, I thought Campaign was fantastic. If you didn't see it, he had 29 points on 60% shooting from behind the arc and 7 assists on top of it. Well, what else do you want? 29 points, 7 assists, and his defense has gotten better this year.
Campaign scored the ball. You know, he had 7 assists to go with it. But in closing moments, he has to be better. You know, we don't need to have all that silliness at the end of games. You know, when you think about his game, he played so well tonight, and then we got to finish it the right way. And with Chris out, those are the things that we're looking for from Cam. That's managing the game. And so, yeah, it was great tonight from a scoring perspective. But we also have to cap it off with finishing the right way.
That's a pretty strong ending for a guy that had 29 points and 7 assists. I like that Monty says that. Cam just gets too excited, plays to the bench and to the crowd, flagrant foul, and it just got to be, hey, you know, we're there now. We're there. And there was a follow-up to try to get Monty to say what you really mean by silliness. And he answered the question, but really didn't give specifics.
We just need to finish the games and just win the game. You know, we part of our program is competing. We sometimes competing goes into emotion. You got to get it back to competing. and winning should be enough. That's what we tell our guys all the time. So we just need to keep our focus on winning the game.
When you allow the emotions to take over, it becomes personal. And when it becomes personal, it's no longer about winning. Full disclosure, the last time they played this team, I didn't know Booker could control himself as well as he did when he was getting mouthy with Klay Thompson. Because that was fantastic. I mean, who cares if you're talking and it gets the other guy, and I mean this at the professional level. I don't want some junior high kid talking trash in the middle of a game. But if we're talking about a professional athlete, you got Klay Thompson out of his game. It messed with his head so bad he ends up shoving an official, gets ejected. Not really shoving an official, but starts getting animated to the level that he gets his second technical foul and he gets ejected. Well, that's amazing. All the credit in the world to D-Book. But if D-Book would have done that and gotten himself ejected, I hope Monty Williams would have said the same thing. Because that's pretty strong. Hey, we got to learn to finish. You know, we don't need all this silliness. Somehow I believe he wouldn't have said the same thing about Devin Booker. If Booker would have done the same thing, I don't think we would hear about Booker's silliness. I hope so. I mean, that's the definition of a great coach, if you're calling out your star in the same way you're calling out everybody else. But I'm not denying the fact that it is silly, the way campaign can act sometimes. And he's got to be able to learn to handle it, because he is the type of person that will then fly off the handle and hurt the team. And you know that, like, I'll never forget in high school soccer, we had this guy that he would not attack the other team legally. He was always afraid to really attack the ball. And you always know this in soccer, because in that game, when somebody goes at the ball, at the last second, they'll pull up and they'll kind of put their hands in front of their face and they'll be worried this might hurt. And it's like, you know, winning does not cause pain. So if you want to win, go take the pain. And go block that shot. And he would always wince away and people would fake him out easy. But then once the whistle blew, he would be upset and he wanted to fight everybody. Like, well, wait, you don't want to fight when it matters. But now because somebody showed you up, now you want to fight. Now you're tough. It's just dumb. And that's kind of with campaign where it's, hey, once your emotions get in it, you allow it to get personal, and now you're hurting our chances of winning. So I like how Monty called him out. I just hope Monty does that for everybody and does it, you know, equally. But campaign right now deserves so much credit for the Suns' good play at point guard. There's no reason to bring Chris Paul back until he's 100%. Why do it? I think the benefits of getting Dwayne Washington, the benefits of getting Damian Lee, the benefits of getting campaign in the starting lineup, unless we start on like a 5-game losing streak or something, it is so beneficial to get these guys learning and playing and doing more for the Suns now. And then bring Chris Paul back when he's absolutely 100% healthy. Of course, I'm not saying you bench Chris Paul until, you know, February or something. Of course not. But my point is, let's be sure. Why even mess with it? Let's be sure. There's no reason to bring him back. I don't want to lose ever, but who cares if you lose a game when you're making sure Chris Paul is okay? And you know you're learning, the guys that are behind him are learning to play better. The real, I would say, beauty of this game, 7-assist campaign, 9-assist Devin Booker, 9-assist Mikal Bridges. Wow. I mean, it's one thing to beat every team in assists when you've got Chris Paul playing. But when Chris Paul is not playing and you share the ball like that? Now, it's funny. D-Book was asked about the ball movement. And then they listed the same thing I did. Hey, you had 9 assists. Campaign had 7 assists. Mikal Bridges had 9 assists.
Yeah, I didn't even know he could pass for real. It's good to know, though, moving forward. But it's good, man. Campaign with 7 of them, too. That's the type of basketball that we want to play. You know, the ball doesn't stick. The ball moves faster than people.
just another example of the great chemistry that these guys have together. This is Monty pregame. Interesting conversation piece. The 13 free throws in two games, which is just, it's just embarrassing for the league to have it that bad. 9 free throw attempts in Orlando, only 4 against Miami. So 13 in the last 2 days, franchise low for two games. And when Monty was asked about this, the guy did not say flopping, but he did talk about I don't know who it was in the media. This is pregame yesterday. Asked Monty about kind of he called it the demonstrativeness. He kind of made up a demonstrative word. I don't know how he said it. I'm obviously fumbling over it. In what other teams do to draw contact and to draw fouls. And Monty was asked, is it coached?
I mean, if it is, then I'm probably going to fail at that. I'm not going to teach flopping, especially when we go into the season and they talk about how we're going to not award it. Why would I teach it? That's where I draw the line as far as that topic of conversation is concerned. I mean, I just think we emotionally, you can get involved in it, especially at the end of the game when you have these close games and you look at some of the stats that don't go in your favor, it bothers you a bit, but I'm not going to teach guys the flop. That'd be time wasted, in my opinion. I just think we have to wait and see if we start to get some of these calls to go our way. But we have had some drastic disparities when you look at the free throw line deal, a number. But again, it's something that you can't control. You got to control the things you can.
I absolutely love soccer. I can't stand the flopping. I mean, it just makes me sick, the flopping. And what makes me even more upset about all flopping is that it works. I don't know why people reward it. I don't know why there aren't rules against it. At least college basketball is trying. Hockey does have embellishment. I think it's kind of hard to call embellishment. Are you sure? I mean, that's a pretty straightforward penalty because you're basically taking away somebody's power play. Hey, you tripped him, but you embellished, so you're both going to the box. And I almost feel like sometimes, why are you calling both? It should either be he didn't really trip you, so you get the embellishment, or he did trip you, and there's no embellishment because you really did get tripped. But I like that. In soccer, here's what I would do. If you go down and I have to stop the game for your fake injury, then you lose a sub. You're allowed to substitute in soccer 5 times a game. Okay, so you get 5 replacement players that can come in. I would drop it down to 4. You've lost a sub because in a sense, you're coming in for yourself. You need to leave the field. And then once you check back in, you've in a sense subbed for yourself, which brings up the funny phrase. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but 100 years ago or so, I mean, it really wasn't 100, but at some point, when they used to do baseball play-by-play, in a sense, over telegraph, where you would be sitting there, you'd get a teletype or an AP note or something that told you this happened. And then you'd hit a wood block together to make it sound like a base hit. And then you'd say, Samuel with a base hit. He's standing on first base, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, somebody screwed up the type and sent something back for a pitcher that said something to the effect of 49 in for 49. So in a sense, they had a relief pitcher come in for himself. Well, the play-by-play guy thinks he's going to be funny. And in trying to describe what happened, he totally didn't think of what he's really juxtaposing together. And he says, and now Thomas relieves himself on the mound. Oh, wait a minute. He's not really doing that. You're bad. So there's a little story time for you. But back to flopping, if you leave the game, well, you've got to relieve yourself. No, you've got to come in for yourself. You're now the substitute. I would take that ability away. Flopping in soccer, to me, I never noticed it until Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili, to me, was the first real flopper. Now, Bill Laimbeer was the biggest whiner of all time, but he didn't flop when he got fouled. It was Manu that I noticed first. And now it's just such commonplace in basketball. I think it's awful. I think they should just hand out techs. I think you flop, boom, one shot technical, let's move on. You shoot it, we'll move on. Be done with it. I hate flopping. But it works. And if your job is there to win, why not do it? So, Book, since you're not being coached to flop, but you obviously got to the free throw line a lot more last night, are you different? Are you being more aggressive?
It was a bit intentional coming off a game with four free throws total for a team. We just wanted to assert ourselves in different ways and kind of just be more aggressive than we were in Miami.
Okay, I got breaking news for you. Kyler Murray is a human being. Glad I'm here for you. I used to get into these conversations with Herb Sendek, and I feel kind of like a hypocrite going the other way with Kyler. Herb Sendek, former coach of Arizona State, I think he's still at St. Mary's, if I'm not mistaken. He's at Santa Clara, I mean. Yeah, he's been at Santa Clara for quite a few years. Actually, he took that job right after he left ASU, after he got fired from ASU. His philosophy was, when you asked him about the U of A game or getting up for the game or, boy, this is a big game, he would always shoot that down. He would always say there's no such thing as a big game, because if there's such a thing as a big game, then that demands that there's such a thing as a small game. And if there's something as a small game, then that means you can bring less intensity to certain games, or you can up your intensity for other games. Why would we want to do that? We should play with everything we have every game. Well, I think he's 100% right philosophically, but come on. I mean, to act like when there are 14,000 people at the ASU U of A game, and there are 5,000 people when you have what we call a pay game, when you're paying somebody to come in and lose to you. Well, if that's the case, come on. There's not going to be as much intensity. It's just the way it is. Shouldn't be like that, but that's just normal. Well, I had those conversations with him. Now I'm looking at something Kyler said, and I admit this going to this extreme bothers me. Tell me what you think.
I enjoy primetime games. Everybody, I think you should look forward to them, and then it being in Mexico just makes it that much sweeter against a divisional opponent. I'm a fan of the Bright Lights, so that's my mentality about it.
I enjoy primetime games. I think you should look forward to them. Couldn't we say that might be part of the problem? When we look at you guys always talking about urgency and intensity, and now you're talking about rising up because the game's under the lights, it's almost as if Kyler, it's like, hey, I don't want to be embarrassed, so I want to play well when I'm on prime time so everybody thinks I'm great. Why isn't it just simply, every time I step on the field, I have the ability, the opportunity to beat somebody else? Like, if you hate losing and love winning, why wouldn't you put everything you've got into the week of preparation and then everything you've got into the game? And why would it matter if it's prime time? Now, I get if you're just talking about being a human being and you're just saying, primetime games, I love that atmosphere. There is something to the juice that you get, but you got to be on top of it. You can't get overhyped. You got to take every game like it's the same thing. I don't know. I don't like somebody saying I get up for the primetime games, because what's been the number one problem for this team ever since Kyler took over? It's the lack of intensity and urgency in so many games, so many opportunities. There's been so many bad losses. I don't know if you heard the weird stat that I gave you yesterday in research by Doug, but Cliff Kingsbury is the only head coach in the history of football since lines were printed up in Vegas that has a losing record as a favorite and a winning record as an underdog. Just think about that for a minute. That shows you that he can't keep intensity and urgency in the room for games that you're supposed to beat. When Vegas analytics says you're the better team, you can't count on Cliff Kingsbury to keep the intensity at the proper level for the team. And therefore, they're front runners. Because when you're underdogs, it's like, oh, now I want, oh, you don't think I'm good? Fine, now I'll show you. Oh, you want to put me on primetime? Oh, fine, now I'll show you. Where is an intensity and a fire that brings you to an uncontrollable level of competitive passion so you win all the time? I shouldn't say so you win all the time, but you don't have skewed records when you're the favorite because it's clear you don't do that. That's a better way to put it. Feel free to rip me. If you say, Doug, you're too hard on Kyler today. All right, tell me why. Today I had a problem with Kyler and Doug's big one, explaining that he can't play if he can't do what he does, even though he still has a working brain and a working arm, and he can stand in the pocket and beat you if he chose to. And everything's got to be right for him to play. And now I'm upset, not upset, but I think it exposes the problem that Kyler gives you all he can because he loves primetime games. Well, where is it when you're facing nobodies, you know, or maybe we're the nobody? This is his explanation of something, and I do believe him on this, about the hamstring was not last week against Seattle, or should I say 2 weeks ago against Seattle.
Tweaked it like, you know, the week before, played through it, you know. But once it kind of happened the next week, I kind of knew probably best for me to, you know, let it rest. And I mean, once it happens, it's unfortunate. But like I said, happens, part of the game. You know, we all go through it. Never want it to be yourself, but try to get back as quick as possible. You know, and Cole did a great job last week. You know, guys did a great job, executed well on the road, gets a tough team. Got another one, you know, this week, so.
The reason why I totally believe him is if you saw Hard Knocks, not last night, but a week ago, the trainer comes running out, and Kyler doesn't say hamstring. He just says something about tweaked. You know, he felt it. He couldn't open up, he said. And the guy just mumbled, hamstring? So it's clear that Kyler had already talked about it. There's no way a trainer's going to come out and just guess. I mean, even if they know somebody that well, you're not just going to come out and be able to just know what was tweaked. And unless he was dealing with it the week before. So he says he felt it go against the Vikings. They worked on it all week. He tried to go against the Seahawks. Wasn't great. I might have said 49ers earlier. Sorry if I butchered that. And then it really isn't ready after that game against Seattle. So now he doesn't play against the Rams. I don't know. I'm kind of in suck it up mode myself. Marquise Hollywood Brown, how we doing? Are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a man of faith. I told him when I was hurt, you know, when they put me on IR, I'd be back in 4 weeks. So, you know, it's God's plan. I'm just excited to be where I am right now.
That sounds like a man that's playing. Doesn't it to you? So we'll finally get to see for the first time. Because we didn't even see it in, I don't remember ever seeing it even in a training camp practice. D-Hop, Rondale Moore, Marquise Brown, all on the field at the same time. Too bad there's no Zach Ertz. But you're finally going to get the three wideouts on the field at the same time.
I mean, if they're both on the field, yeah, it's dangerous. You know, along with Rondale, Robbie, AJ, James, Dortch, I mean, obviously Zach just got hurt. Trey's got to get going. You know, the weapons are endless. You know, it's just about executing, staying on schedule. And obviously, you know, the 49ers got a great rush. Defense is playing well. Regardless of the record, we know what they're capable of. You know, they're people are, you know, high on the 49ers right now. Obvious reasons, but they're a great team, so.
Okay, two things you're going to be shocked from me. Let's go positive. I got some positive things to say about Kyler. He was asked about the vibe after the win and going into this week, getting ready for the trip to Mexico City.
Positive, positive. I mean, that's the one thing, you know, just staying alive, you know, staying in the fight. It's not over. Obviously, like I said, the season has not gone the way, you know, we've wanted, but we're still in it. Season's not over. So we know this team's talented enough to go on the run that we feel like we can go on. And that's the mission. And that's, you know, that's the mentality right now.
I like that. And my other positive, let's get into Hard Knocks. And I'll give you my takeaways from Hard Knocks last night. Obviously, if you haven't seen it yet and you're saving it for later and you don't want to hear me talk about it, then feel free to. I don't think I ruin anything by talking about it because you're going to watch it. And it's still, I mean, there's never going to be a day my rundown of it is worth you not watching if you care to watch. Now, if you don't care to watch, well, then I'll tell you what everybody's going to be talking about when you get to work today. But one of my big takeaways was the offensive line goes out to dinner on Fridays together. And I remember being told early in Kyler's career, he rarely went out with guys. And he's sitting right next to Lasita Smith. And on the other side of Lasita's was Kelvin Beachum. And Smith was talking about how he did poorly in practice on a screen. And it was really a great moment because Beachum is just jumping his junk, yelling, "Hey, play football, play football." And like was really mad at his lack of aggression, lack of understanding, lack of attack, and was just all over him. And I kind of loved it. And Lasitas was still frustrated with himself. There was like fear in his eyes when you're seeing him at dinner. There was fear in his eyes. And it was, I'm about ready to go up against Aaron Donald and I can't even do a simple screen. And then he admits, man, I thought I wasn't going to play this year. It was on the one hand, so refreshingly honest and human. And on the other hand, it was like, what the hell are you doing? Let's go. You're a freaking football player. Let's go. You know, it was kind of like that when you're listening to the guy. And that's kind of what Kyler said to him with more F-bombs. I mean, Kyler was like, what are you doing? Quit thinking and just do it. It's a screen pass. Just do it. It was really raw. And my positiveness is a guy that I don't think is a great leader. There was Kyler leading. There's Kyler being the definition of a leader right there. And everybody's got a different style. You know, maybe it would have been better if he would have said, Lasitas, I don't want to hear about your whining. This team believes in you, and I don't care whether you believe in yourself or not. Just do the job. But I believe in you. Let's go. Now be quiet, quit whining. Something like that. Okay, maybe that's more my style. I'm going to rip you while I talk you up at the same time. Kyler was just, you know, F-bombs a-blazing in your face. Let's go, quit your complaint. I mean, it was good, though. It was good. The other ones that I looked at, the McCoy leadership stuff was fantastic. I really enjoyed listening to him in the quarterback's room. He was taking charge. Now, granted, all we have is what Hard Knocks chooses to show us. So we don't know what Kyler was saying in the quarterback's room. We don't know what the quarterback's coach was saying in the quarterback's room, what they chose to let, you know, leave out. But there was clear leadership from Colt McCoy from the very beginning of the week. This is what we're going to do. And this is what I expect. It was almost like he was saying it to the quarterback's coach. This is what I expect out of you. And then little by little, the other assistant coaches during the week kept coming up to Colt McCoy to tell him their version of what needs to happen. And Colt was like, hey, I just need your guys to be in the right spot. And he was saying that all week long. It was really good. So my takeaways, LaCeeda Smith's nervousness, the leadership of Colt McCoy and Kyler, the Beachum stomach situation was really interesting. Beachum walked into the O-line room while they were already in a meeting, so it was clear either he was late or had left the meeting, and he said he passed out. Like, what? He said something's going on up here in... And it was right around the appendix area where you would hurt if it was an appendix. And he said, even the trainer said, you know, it might be an appendix. And the O-line coach is like, what are you doing in here then? If you've got an appendix issue, go get out of here. Go see the trainer. Go lay down. Don't pass out in here. Get yourself right. I'll give you this information later. And lo and behold, the only issue with Beachum is he had some kind of intestinal problem. Got himself cleaned out and everything's all right. Ready to go. And then my last takeaway is the one that I knew was going to happen and it really bothers me. And that is, there's no mention whatsoever about Eno Benjamin. I don't have a source on this. I'm going to tell you what I think without a source. I believe the Cardinals nixed it. Listen, there's an argument that says Hard Knocks would think we've got Buddha's ankle. We've got Beachum's intestines. We've got LaCeeda Smith being unbelievably nervous to face Aaron Donald. And we've got Colt McCoy's leadership as a backup quarterback and a win over the world champions. We've got plenty of stories here. We're good. Okay. I see that point of view. But do you think there's anybody nationally that would care about any of that compared to the story that's being reported that Eno Benjamin had some kind of confrontation, some kind of altercation, all we know for sure is verbal, with an assistant coach and gets cut the next day? You can't tell me that that isn't better television than everything else he talked about. There's no way. So either it didn't happen, and I'm not second-guessing Ken Summers, or the Cardinals didn't want it in there. Now, the Cardinals would probably argue, if they are exposed as nixing it, they did it to protect Eno Benjamin. They'll say Eno looked so bad, we didn't want to rain on his parade. We didn't want it out there. We don't want anybody to know how he handled the situation. And maybe Eno looked so terrible, it's better to just not show it. I think that's a crock. I think that's a crock. If Eno deserves the beatdown, then we'll give him the beatdown. But I'm still on the Eno Benjamin side of this. And I think that that's trash that we didn't get to see it as Cardinals fans to really know what happened to Eno Benjamin. Because I think it's been ridiculous the way he's been used. I have a genuine feeling he got lied to. You haven't used him well. For a while, he was your most productive running back. You probably told him something to keep him happy, that he was going to get more touches, and now that he's not, he freaks out and you don't know what to do. And then there's the, oh, well, he freaked out in a win, so he's not a team player. Well, I don't care whether you're a winner or a loser, did you lie to him? Okay, that would make me mad if you lied to me. Now, do I believe he should have kept his mouth shut until the next day? Talked about it on Monday? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Full disclosure, I do, and I think that's on him. I think it's a bad move, Eno. I don't have a cool soccer sounder, but one last thing before we do versus Vegas. It really interests me. Phoenix Rising are going to go on airport property, 38th Street in Washington, and they're going to build a temporary stadium where the old park is. The Greyhound Park. Sorry, that was so bad. I love this idea. What a great area with a light rail stop. I am a severe West Side guy, and I never even made it out to Chandler for a game. That's a fur piece for me, and I love soccer. I think this is a fantastic location. I think it's such a good location. I'm kind of thinking about something permanent. Now, the city council voted unanimously basically to let them have it, but it's a lease deal, so they're not giving them the land, and the Rising are going to be paying for it. And the only real benefit they get financially, other than what they generate for themselves, is somehow it's a clause in the lease that I don't understand that is if this structure or the improvements or what's going on somehow benefit the airport as well, the airport, then somehow the city lowers the lease payment a little bit. I don't quite understand it. All I know is it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything, and the Rising are the ones that are spending all the money. So I just want to give a huge shout out to the Rising. If they want any event there for the Unplugged Army, I'd love to have a night out for the Unplugged Army. So those of you that love soccer, you come with us. And for those of you that don't know the game, I would love to teach you. And I don't know the head coach. I know the old head coach very well. I don't know the new one at all. But maybe we could have an X's and O's session beforehand, little Q&A. You learn the game a little better. And then we watch a Rising game next year. I think that would be fun. If you're interested in that, let me know, and I'll see what we can do to set that up. But this is a good story. I'm pretty pumped up about that. All right. I'm also pretty pumped up about something else. Versus Vegas up next on Doug Franz Unplugged.
Do you want to get in the game and need that extra edge? Go to KingCappers.com. Do you feel left out not knowing the difference between a parlay and a point spread? KingCappers.com. KingCappers doesn't take bets. We tell you which teams to bet on, giving you the advantage you need on sportsbooks. Buy one sports handicapping package and get one free for the first 200 people. Get in the game with KingCappers. That's KingCappers.com.
Let's dance.
Versus Vegas.
How did we do yesterday? How about that? Four of them. After I got smashed in the face with my 1-for-7 performance the 2 days prior, had a little 4-and-1 day yesterday. This is Versus Vegas. It's presented by KingCappers.com. You go to KingCappers.com and turn yours, go from sports gambling to sports investing. You choose your package. You choose your commitment. You choose what you want, whether it's a sport you love and you want a little help with, or a sport you don't know and say, you know what? I'm going to start to get to know it while King Cappers helps me win on it. Or you just want to do something for the weekend. Whatever you want, they've got a plan for you. Choose the promo code ARMY, write in ARMY. That signifies you're a member of the Unplugged Army and you get a nice discount for whatever you're jumping on. Before we go to Jerry's picks, I give you how I did yesterday. And I went 4-1, improved the record now to 665 and 543. I took Ottawa over Buffalo on the money line. Probably should have taken it on the puck line because Ottawa won 4-1. I'm all right. Missed on Nuggets Knicks. I took the Nuggets -4.5. The Nuggets didn't cover because they didn't win. I've been saying that a lot lately. I took the Suns on the money line. I guess I didn't need to, as they smashed Golden State 131-19. I told you I didn't know who was going to win Ohio-Detroit Mercy last night. My Bobcats got smashed. But I did tell you that it was definitely going to be over. Like, I loved the over. And it was 18 points over. That was easy. As the over was 144.5, and I put down, and they made it to 162. And then I barely got lucky. Do you barely get lucky? That was kind of dumb. I barely got one right, so I got lucky. I took Arkansas -13.5 over South Dakota State, and Arkansas won by 15, and I had it by 13.5. So thank you. Thank you. 71-56. All right, there's my day. Overall record now. I already told you the overall record. So now it's Jerry's turn of KingCappers.com. Jerry, what you got for us today?
Number two Gonzaga gets schooled by Texas as we drop our free play. This week is a prime example as to why bankroll management is key in sports wagering when we ride a winning and losing streak. Bounce Back Thursday takes us to NCAA basketball, where South Carolina State faces Kentucky. Our premium play of the day recommends a play on the over 145.5. For our highest rated plays, visit kingcappers.com and let's cash.
Oh, yeah, I nailed that one. Nailed that one, Jerry. You know, that's interesting. I like how Jerry threw out that lesson there, because I think they were on a streak of 7-0, missed one, and then they had a little streak of 5. I mean, they've basically been averaging here on Doug Franz Unplugged about 4-1 all the time. And then lately they're on a little bit of a downtrend, and I like how he phrased that. I really like that pick, but I've liked your last two as well, Jerry. So you probably... I should have said it. I said yesterday I should not compliment it because I'm the one bringing you guys down. So never mind. I won't tell you what I think about Kentucky. For me, I basically got nothing. I like... And this is a stretch because the juice is really bad on this one. But I've got the Caps +1.5 at St. Louis. The Blues are on the back end of a back-to-back. But the juice is outrageous, so you might want to ignore that one. For me, when it's just $5, it's like, I don't care about the juice, so I only win $1. All right. I just want to be right. You know, money's always good when you're right, but it's bad juice. So hopefully the Caps do it, +1.5 at St. Louis. I didn't like anything else. So, hey, if you don't like it, you don't touch it. That does it for today's version of Doug Franz Unplugged. Thanks. Just talking to you picked up my spirits. Let's go. Let's get some wins this weekend. Let's feel good about ourselves. You know what I need? I need a sanctioned event. I'll put one together. I need to get a sanctioned event together pretty soon. And we've already had the last one, I think, was West Side. We'll do something East Side. You know what I'm going to do? I think there is a casino I could probably get to sponsor Doug Franz Unplugged. But I would need your help on this. If we did it, could we go out to the casino? Like, would you actually get like dinner, a hotel, and golf? Dinner, and that's it? Would you play golf? If I got something like that, a night there, I would want to be able to say, look at the Army come out for this event. Would you think about doing it? Maybe I could get a sponsor. Maybe I could get one of the casinos to sponsor Doug Franz Unplugged. But I would really need Army support on something like that. We'll see if I can get working on that. Thanks a lot to Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, 602-2-REPAIR. That's 602, the number 2, then REPAIR for Parker & Sons. Great time to be an unplugged Army... that was hard. An unplugged Army member and a member of the family plan. If you jump on the family plan, boy, does it make life a lot easier with Parker & Sons. Bell's Nashville Kitchen, home of the world famous Arizona's best sandwich, the hot chicken sandwich. Oh my gosh, perfect. The Nashville hot chicken is a better way to phrase it. Burrito Express, Burrito Supreme, or the breakfast burrito, depending on what time it is. Burrito Express isn't open during dinner, but it's a great thing to get carry out for your house. So if you're in a hurry, swing through Burrito Express, get yourself dinner, and bring it home. And then if you're really active that night or you got something going on, man, quick dinner, but it doesn't taste like fast food. It's delicious. I think you'll love it. Rosati's, Ray and McQueen, pizza and wings, and actually see sports on TV and actually hear the games as well. KingCappers.com, presenting sponsor of Versus Vegas. And if you're ever interested in doing your own type of podcast, or you want to start advertising on some podcasts around the country, then contact Fushaw Media at Fushaw Media, or just email me, Doug@DougFranzUnplugged.com, and I'll get you in touch with Yoda, and he can help you with your podcast. Tailgate show tomorrow, and it's a double barrel Friday. What does that mean? Heavy look at ASU, U of A, and the probably not the Cardinals. We'll do that on Monday. And also a double barrel Friday with Jerry and King Cappers. I'll see you tomorrow.